What's up, guys? It's David Wright with the New York Mets, and you're listening to the Talking 21 podcast with my man, Danny Torres.
Hi, everybody. This is Eric Davis, a.k.a. Eric the Red. I'm Talking 21 with Danny Torres. Be there, be square. Much love.
Hi, it's Bob Costas, and you're listening to the Talking 21 podcast with Danny Torres.
Hey, this is Derek Shelton, manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Talking 21 with Danny Torres. Retire number 21.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Danny Torres, host of the Talking 21 podcast, and thanks so much for listening and watching our show. We truly appreciate it. Our next guest was born in Ponce, Puerto Rico, and although he once considered a career in engineering and even accounting, it was baseball that truly piqued his interest. He would sign with the New York Yankees and eventually make his major league debut in 1982. Wait till you hear who welcomed him inside the clubhouse. It's actually a funny story. In this episode, Edwin Rodriguez shares how he found his true passion, managing. And throughout his managerial career, there were three moments that quite possibly are forever etched in his heart and soul. In 2010, becoming the first manager of Puerto Rican descent in Major League Baseball history, and then being selected as the manager for Team Puerto Rico in 2013 and 2017. I gotta say, a baseball cap truly defines the baseball player, a coach, and a manager. The WBC literally did that not only for Team Puerto Rico, but for every nation that participated. Did you watch the WBC? What an unbelievable, unbelievable tournament. In this episode, Edwin shares his experiences in the game. So many huge moments, so many moments that he will treasure forever. And of course, his love for Roberto Clemente, who he actually met when he was 10 years old. So sit back, enjoy my conversation with Edwin Rodriguez, the manager of the 2023 Acereros de Monclova in the Mexican League. Well, welcome, Edwin Rodriguez, to the Talking 21 podcast. Now, finally, we are in season three, and you are a guest, and I was waiting for the right time. So it was nothing along the lines of why the previous two seasons that Daniel Torres did not have you on Talking 21, but if there was ever a time to be on this podcast, along with my unbelievable producer, Ras Guevara, tonight, today, 1 week after the 2023 WBC, tonight was the night. So, hermano, gracias, direct from Mexico.
Yeah, hey, it's a pleasure being here with you guys. Danny, Ras, thank you. And congratulations, starting this third season. That's great. That's great for you guys and for Roberto Clemente. So, like you say, we just finished the workout here in Mexico, and we're ready to go.
Well, I know Ras was going to have maybe some questions at the conclusion because, obviously, having the opportunity to have the – let's put it – when you think about it, Pittsburgh has their Steelers in Mexico as well. So this is going to be a great podcast. And, you know, Edwin, I wanted to ask you, considering – you were born in Ponce, Puerto Rico. You graduated from the Catholic University of Puerto Rico, and your major, I believe, was accounting. So tell me about that trajectory from accounting to this unbelievable sport that we know as baseball.
Well, I born and raised in Ponce, Puerto Rico. In 1978, I graduated from high school. I went to University of Mayagüez. That's the best engineering university, not only in Puerto Rico, the whole Caribbean.
It wasn't accounting. Pardon me. I thought it was actually accounting.
No. First, it was civil engineering, though.
Okay.
That was 1978.
Okay.
In 1980, that's when I signed professional baseball. Okay. So my academic career took a pause there. So I played for 9 years, you know, as an active professional player. And then when I went back to school, I decided to go into accounting. And I finished my degree in accounting. because 9 years later, whatever I took those first 2 years, they were gone. So it was in accounting. So I graduated in 1993 from Universidad Católica de Puerto Rico. Yes.
So I got to ask you a question, Edwin. And I know you're always honest with me in all our years that we've been friends. We've been brothers. Edwin, you signed with the New York Yankees.
Right.
2023, is Edwin Rodriguez still a Yankee fan? Be honest with me.
Being honest, I'm no fan on any team other than Pittsburgh because Clemente was there. I signed with the Yankees, and of course, I was pulling for the Yankees because I was there. But I'm not a big fan of the Yankees.
Okay. I'm glad because you know where my allegiance is. So I'm glad.
Right. But I always watching what I have to say the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing because Clemente. I mean that's no secret. So whatever they're doing, good or bad, you know, I'm happy when they're doing good, and I'm sad when I see something like you know it's not working the right way. But yes, that's where we are.
So 1982. You made your major league debut. Now, there's some familiar names on that team. Donnie Baseball, who obviously is now part of the Blue Jay staff. But you have a future Hall of Famer named Dave Winfield. And Edwin, help me out there because I remember a story you shared with me when you were in the clubhouse, something that Dave Winfield did when he spotted you. Can you share that for our listeners and our viewers?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I say in 1980. In 1982, I started the season in low A with the Yankees. That was Greensboro, North Carolina, low A. They called me up for 2 weeks to double A. That was Nashville Sounds. As a matter of fact, Don Mattingly was a left fielder there. And Buck Showalter was playing first on that team.
Did I know that?
Yes, Otis Nixon was playing shortstop, all those guys. So that was 1982. So when the season was over in 1982, we won the championship in AA. I went back home to Puerto Rico. A day later, they called me up to go to the big leagues because Willie Randolph got hurt.
Okay.
At second base. So I packed my stuff. They were playing in Cleveland. So I flew straight to Cleveland. I mean, first time in the big league. When I came in to Cleveland Stadium, the whole team was on the field taking BP, batting practice. So I was there by myself. So I'm looking at the lockers. So that's the name, Rodriguez. That should be me. So I'm unpacking everything. And all of a sudden, this behind me, this guy grabbed me. And then raised me up there, and I'm 5'10", and I was way up there. When he put me down, I turned around, and there was. Dave Winfield was there, 6'10", pulling it. And then he introduced himself. Hey, kid, I'm Dave Winfield. He said, of course, yeah, I know who you are. He said, hey, you're leading off today, all right? I have 99 RBIs, so make sure you get on base. All right, I want to get that 100 RBIs. All right, no pressure. All right, so that was the introduction from Dave Wilfred. As a matter of fact, I did get on base. I did score a run, and he got that RBI.
Hey, man, listen, that's an amazing story, and what an introduction for a rookie named Edwin Rodriguez.
I know.
You know, Edwin, we are super excited. So many people that have communicated with me. They don't know you're going to be our next guest, but one of the things that so many people were talking to me about was this year's WBC. And right. I thought, and I said, who can I reach out to who played on Team Rubio that could, in a sense, give me an idea, a perspective on Edwin Rodriguez, the manager, especially the manager, not necessarily of 2013, but of 2017 Team Rubio. Right. And look at the two words that this former player of yours on that team, what he said about you. He said, strategic and calm. And that is, that was your ace pitcher, Seth Lugo. That's what Seth Lugo said about you. Strategic and calm. So here it is. We were all glued throughout this entire tournament. But yet, Edwin, there was controversy with certain fan base. They were making remarks. They didn't want their players. I hate to say it, Edwin, a lot of Met fans, but I got to admit it. But yet there were those that were saying it was a meaningless tournament. There was even someone, Edwin, we're not going to mention this guy's name, who he said, quote, splitting up teammates based on where their grandmothers got laid. I mean, come on, Edwin. I want to hear your thoughts when you hear something like that. And at the end of the day, the success of what occurred with that matchup with Ohtani and Mike Trout. Millions were glued. I want to hear your thoughts, and I want to hear your thoughts in English and Espanol. But let's start first with English.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, 2006, that was the first version of WBC. And we all have to tip our hat to Major League Baseball. I mean, they were trying to abroad that baseball throughout the world. And I think they have been doing a great job doing that. That was 2006 and then 2009 and all that. So that we just play our fifth tournament of WBC are now in 2023. And I think, like I say, I tip my hat to MLB. I mean, they have been doing a great job. It's, you know, teammates playing against each other, you know, representing different countries. I mean, teammate, you ask the players, man, they are very, very excited about that.
They
you
are.
Know, when they play in the big leagues, they playing for an employer. I mean, they're getting paid to do that. When they play in the WBC, they playing for their country. And there's an extra effort. I mean, we have to say that because it's a tournament. Everything they will do on every pitch counts. In a full season, you know, 5 months, 162 games, you know, they can relax a little. I mean, not relax, but I mean, they can make mistakes. They know that, and they can get away. But in a tournament representing your country, and everybody watching, when I say everybody, your dad, your brother, your sister, your granddad, you know, everybody, what that means a lot for the players. So for those saying it's a meaningless tournament, That's enough. It means a lot. It means a lot to the players. It means a lot to the country. It means a lot to the game. And like you say, man, this last 2023 tournament, last out of the tournament, I mean, the best pitcher, the best player in baseball, facing another best player in baseball, Mike Trout and Ohtani. That's what it's all about. Now they're ready for the season. And I'm telling you, they're game ready. They're ready for the season. You know, this tournament really helps the players to get ready for the regular season.
And I mean, Edwin, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Sadly, we know what happened to Edwin. Sadly, we know what happened to Jose Altuve.
Right.
These things happen. Now, we could continue to say, when is the best time to play this tournament?
Right.
Do we go a little earlier spring training, knowing for 2026 this is going to happen? But at the end of the day, it's all about tune-up. It's preparing for a long season that's going to hopefully, for some teams, include the playoffs. So I agree with you 100%. Now, Edwin, si puede, por favor, compartir tu opinión sobre el torneo en español.
Well, el torneo del Clásico Mundial de Béisbol. Para mí, o sea, el 2006 fue la primera edición del Clásico Mundial de Béisbol. Y fue un acierto, fue un éxito de parte de la Major League Baseball haber comenzado y creado este torneo para internacionalizar el juego. Eso fue el 2006. Ahora mismo podemos hablar de béisbol en Israel, en España, Inglaterra. Gracias al Clásico Mundial. ¿Sabes? Que el juego de béisbol se ha internacionalizado. Y significa muchísimo este torneo para los jugadores. Porque están representando su país. Ellos juegan en Grandes Ligas y lo motivan. Y obviamente representan su ciudad y están motivados por su patrono. Pero en el Clásico Mundial están motivados, como dice Josy Alvarado, nuestro amigo, están motivados por su país, por su familia. O sea, decir que este torneo no significa mucho o no significa nada, es nada más lejos de la realidad, de la verdad. Yeah. Significa mucho. Así que ha sido un acierto. Y este último turno, el último out del Clásico Mundial de este año, 2023, que eso hace apenas una semana, se enfrentó el mejor jugador de béisbol en Ohtani, enfrentando a quizás el segundo, es debatible, el segundo mejor jugador en Mike Trout. Así yeah. que de eso es que se trata. Y ya esos muchachos están listos para la temporada al 100%.
Y mira la gorra que Daniel Torres lo tenía puesto. Mira cómo yo lo tenía aquí mismo. Y mira, yo estaba mirando ese juego y todo lo que tú dijiste ahora mismo es la verdad. So, Edwin, if we could now transition to something that you wrote on Facebook about Edwin Sugar Diaz.
Okay.
I was touched by it. And I like to know what really, in a way, was it that what you was reading on social media that really gravitated you to the laptop and to put out that heartfelt post that I saw received thousands of comments, literally thousands of hits, comments? What really drove you to post that on Edwin Sugar Diaz?
Well, Danny, you know, I really always been careful with what I post in social media. It could be Instagram, it could be, you know, social media. So, and I like to read the posts from other people, you know, good and bad or whatever. But I try to stay silent with no opinions. But when I see something that that I really believe I should express my opinion or what I really feel, being a person that has been there, you know, he knows the players, knows the big leagues, knows the tournament. So I express myself. So I think it was... I don't think it was fair for baseball. It was not fair for WBC. It was not fair for the players or for Edwin Diaz, what people were posting against him. So that's why I posed that in favor of Edwin Diaz. And I tell you right now, if Edwin Diaz or any of those players that play in the WBC, they have to do it again, they will do it again. They will
agree.
They will do it again. Because that means a lot to them. And you had to tip your head in this situation to the Mr. Cohen for, you know, backing and backing up Diaz even when he got hurt. And of course, he didn't plan to do that. But that's what I post on Facebook. It's a listen, you know, and there was a lot of controversy around the Puerto Rican team and to the players, you know, playing in the WBC South. That's why.
And Edwin, let's be honest. Sadly, a lot of that was geared towards the Latin American countries. And, you know, yes. Edwin, I'm just going to somewhat translate what you wrote for our listeners and viewers. Sure. You know, you said, and this is a little excerpt. I call on us to unite not only in prayer and healing, to let us honor this Puerto Rican, leaving aside the absurd controversies that have been created long before the start of the tournament regarding the formation of the teams.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's just an excerpt. So I welcome people to go to your Facebook page to read that. Edwin, you know, we spoke about this. And when I spoke to my brother, he actually said, Danny, how the hell did you come up with this idea? But Edwin, you know, something that we talked about, imagine if there was a WBC, the year of my birth, 1966. And if we had to go position by position.
Oh, my goodness.
And think about it, Edwin.
Yeah.
1966. Already the major leagues,
right,
the big leagues, already had some pretty impressive Boricua ball players. So, Edwin, help me out. Who do we have at the catcher? Who do we have at first base? Edwin, come on. Let's put this all together. I'm giving you that opportunity. Por favor.
Right. Well, you're asking me at the Puerto Rican team. If you go to the USA team, oh, my goodness, that would be crazy. But the Puerto Rican team, I mean.
Like, first base. Come on, Edwin. First base.
Come on. It's starting out with right field. Sorry.
All right. Okay.
Roberto Clemente. Clemente, right field, center field, Jerry Morales. I mean, a defender. Left field. Who would I put there? Help me out there in left field. Guillermo Montañez.
There you go. Because although I remember him as a Met at first base, Yeah. Our dear friend Luis Mayoral told me, Daniel, he always calls me Daniel. He goes, Daniel, you got to put Guillermo Willy Montañez in left field because he actually played the outfield right at one time during his career. So we already have the outfield. Let's right. go infield.
Infield catching, it will be Eli Rodriguez. Eli Rodriguez.
A former Yankee, too.
A former Yankee. First baseman, I have to go to Big Power.
So we're leaving that Hall of Famer to the side. We're not going Hall of Fame at first base. We got to go Victor Peugeot.
I go with the glove. I always believe in defense, though. So I go with the seven gold glover.
That's true. I would put that
Hall of Famer Orlando Cepeda as a DH.
Good one.
And I mean, not taking away anything from Orlando Cepeda because he was a good defender. But there's no contest with a seven gold glover in Big Power. Second base, I had to go with Felix Millan.
You notice that's another Met, right? You notice that. We got Willy Montañez in left field. We got another former Met with Felix at second base.
Felix was second. At shortstop, I really believe that Sandy Alomar Sr., I think he was a shortstop.
Yes, Santos.
Santos. I will go with Santos as shortstop. And then at third base, you're going to have to help me out here.
Oh, yeah. You ready for this? Otro Boricua, the first Puerto Rican to play for the New York Mets, 1962. Mi pana in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Felix Mantilla, who had a hell of a season.
Goodness.
Listen, let's even talk about 1965. He was in the All-Star game.
I see.
He for the Boston Red Sox. So at third base, we got Felix Mantilla. Help me out, Lanzador.
Jose Santiago have to be in there.
Palillo.
Palillo Santiago have to be in there. Terín Pizarro have
Terín,
to be in there.
Terín, que descanse en paz.
Descanse en paz. Who else we got there? We have, I think that, I don't know if Tite Arroyo was in the bullpen with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Help me out there.
That might be someone that we seriously got to consider because I think we're talking about the cutoff, 1966, when they made their Major League debut. But you know what? I think I like this team, and I'll put this team up on Team USA. How about that, Edwin?
That would be good. So far, I mean, I don't know where Eduardo Figueroa will be.
He would be a little further down. So he wouldn't make this team. Okay. So, you know, Edwin, thinking about that team.
Right.
So many years now in 2023. Edwin, Daniel from New York City, I kind of once again have said, who do I talk to? I have you on this podcast,
right,
and you have an answer because here it is, you managed in Ponce. But yet, Edwin, something that I saw in various Facebook posts when a game was streamed live.
Right.
How can we help baseball grow in Puerto Rico? Because, Edwin, help me out. When I'm seeing in the Winter League that ballparks, the attendance is poor. That saddens me. But yet other Latin American countries, especially Dominican Republic, my God, it has a WBC feel to it. So, Edwin, what can you do? What can former players do? What can current players do? Edwin, I just got a suggestion. If there's an issue with players playing in the Winter League, how about coaching? How about coming to coach those players that potentially mentoring them that may be considering that one day they'll get in the Major League? So, Edwin, I want to hear your thoughts. What can we do?
Well, it is a complex answer, and it's a very difficult answer. I want you to be sure that a lot of people have tried to figure that out for many years, and there's a lot of elements involved trying to get that league and baseball in Puerto Rico going. So it's pretty complicated. Starting with the draft in 1989, that started off. Players, big league players, not playing in Puerto Rico. Economy going down in the States, definitely in Puerto Rico, the overall economy. And other sports like basketball, volleyball, and soccer is getting more attention than baseball in Puerto Rico.
I'm seeing that.
So that you have to battle all that. And so what is the answer, the best answer for that? I really don't know. I have to sit down. But the Major League players, the present Major League players, and the former Major League players, they have to get involved. They cannot just step aside and then look what's happening and not saying or doing anything. They have to get involved. I mean, period. If they get involved, I think the league and baseball is going to get more sponsors from the private sector and more sponsor also with the government. But if they don't see that big name, like right now, like Javi Baez, like Francisco Lindor, like all those big names, or the Edgar Martinez, Robbie Alomar, all that, if they don't see those names, it's not attractive to the sponsor to put the money on. So I think the first step have to be like get those people involved in baseball in Puerto Rico.
I really do hope. I kudos to you, because for Team Ponce, the Ponce Leones, you did have kind of like a dream team coaching staff. Carlos Delgado, I believe Jose Valentin, I believe, help me out, was
Carlos Barga.
Oh yeah, Carlos Barga. You know, he is the preacher, right? He's he's our minister. He's our minister. You know, but you know, Edwin, when we were together in El Paso, Texas, you were the Padres AAA manager, and I got a chance to see up close these larger bases. So here it is. This year, we're going to be talking about no shift. We're going to be talking about a pitch clock. We're talking about larger bases. What was your experience with the AAA players? How do you think that is going to transition? Now it's obviously happening now in spring training, but how do you see it? It seems to be working. It seems to the players are liking it. But what are your thoughts, Edwin?
Well, in 2021, that's a good question. 2021, I was managing the AAA team for the Padres. That was in El Paso, Pacific Coast League. And we already, they implement those new rules in the big leagues. They were implementing those rules in AAA. That's 2021. So, I had a chance to play under those rules, you know, bigger bases. I think the shift, we're still doing the shift that we're doing in the shift that 2021. But the clock, everything, we were doing that. And there's not much difference. You know, players, they will get used to that. And I have to tell you, I mean, I'm not 100% agreed with all the rules, all the new rules, but most of the rules, I think if we will make sense, it will be more commercial for the teams and for baseball. Quicker game, the pace of the game will be quicker. I think it will create a little bit more offense, which, you know, in the last 8-10 years have been going, you know, down south. Yeah. But I think it will create more often, it will create more stolen bases, which people like the stolen bases.
Sure.
But overall, I have to say that it will benefit baseball with those new rules.
You know, when you've worn the hat of a scout, general manager, you've managed on the major league level, minor leagues in Puerto Rico, Santo Domingo, and now you're the manager in Monclova, Mexico. You are part of a team that has history. I believe the franchise itself started somewhere in the 70s. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. But please share your thoughts, your impressions of the beautiful country of Mexico, specifically Monclova.
Oh, it is. I mean, this is, like I said, I was working in organized baseball in the States for many years until last year. And this is my first experience managing in Mexico. Just to give you an example of what's going on here. We just finished this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the first two exhibition games. The season was starting April 21st. Okay. So we just played our first two exhibition games, Saturday and Sunday. And in each game, Saturday and Sunday, we have 14,000 fans watching the game.
Wow. 14,000. Can you repeat that again? 14?
14,000 fans watching exhibition games in Mexico.
So now, Edwin, let me ask you this, because we're right fresh off the WBC. Let's be honest.
I'm going to say we have to credit the WBC in that respect, correct?
There you go. They were talking about that. And a lot of fans were in the Mexico head, you know, WBC, Mexico head. And, I mean, the players were talking about that. Definitely, yeah. WBC had an influence on what is happening there.
You know, Edwin, before you got to the level that you're at now, I mean, Edwin, something that I don't know if that's kind of in the back of your head. Edwin, you have over 900 major league, minor league managerial wins. So that is a congratulations on that.
Right.
But before all those accolades, Edwin Rodriguez was, I believe, Edwin, 9 or 10 years old when you met the great one, Roberto Clemente. Tell me about that moment of meeting the great one as a young boy.
Then tell you what, Danny, that's a great question. I don't think that anything would influence my career more than that handshake, because I handshake Roberto Clemente. And when I was 10 years old, you know, he came in that helicopter and he landed in center field. And then he came out with that beautiful uniform. And then he spoke to us for about 45 minutes. And there were more than 300 kids out there. Wow. And I was right in front. And I'm telling you, you know, that influence, that persona, that Roberto Clemente personality, that influenced my life. Not only, I'm not talking about baseball life overall. Yeah. I mean, and that's the kind of influence that Roberto Clemente has in people. And Danny, let me throw you this one. Just about 3 hours ago, I received a call from Janet Clemente.
Oh, okay. Roberto's niece.
Yeah, she called me about 3 hours ago. And wow. I said, well, maybe she knew that I wasn't going to be your
podcast. No, not at all. Did you tell her?
No, I told her. And then she said, no, I'm calling you because Angel Peg, one of your players or disciples, one of your players on the Team Rubio 2017, he's spent 5 hours here at home talking to Martino, Roberto Clemente's brother. And she was so excited that she said, man, I have to call Edwin to talk about that. She said that Angel Peguin, you know, the former big league player.
Another former Met.
He spent 5 hours sitting with Martino, Roberto Clemente's brother, talking about baseball life. And she said to me, when he left, he said, nothing has influenced my spirit more than talking, being around Roberto Clemente's memorabilia and all this, what I'm watching here. And that kind of impact Roberto Clemente has in anybody. So that spirit, that Roberto Clemente is more than a player, as a human being. That's what Roberto Clemente does for people. Yeah.
Edwin, on our last podcast, our previous podcast with David Wright, which was well received, so many people commented and did the old like on YouTube, because now we're doing some amazing things for 2023. So, Edwin, I want to thank you for being a part of the podcast. But I mentioned to David at the conclusion of the podcast, I said, David, I would have been at your final game, but when I heard that Don Martino Clemente was going to be in Cooperstown that Saturday, your final game, I had to weigh out. David Wright's final game, a guy that I covered throughout his Met career, or travel to Cooperstown, and he agreed, using his word, 1,000%, that I was going to be there. So meeting Don Martino, for me, is something that I'm never going to ever forget. You got a chance to go to that house. Tell me about a little bit about that experience of being there in his presence at his home, Edwin.
Oh, man, it is amazing, man. You sit down with him. Yeah, the Martino. You sit down with him, and he started talking about, he's, I think, 90-plus years old.
Yes,
He remembers everything. He goes pitch by pitch on any, I would say, the most important at-bat from Clemente. And listening to him explaining and commenting pitch by pitch on Roberto Clemente's highlights, you go like, this is amazing, man, because I never saw that Clemente play. I mean, live. But just talking to Martino and then sitting around all those, you know, photos and bats and glove and all that. I mean, people might say, it's just a Puerto Rican talking. I'm telling you, man, you have that feeling, spiritual feeling, that you go like,
you this, do.
This is more than baseball. I mean, this is more than baseball. I mean,
Edwin, I got a rush when I met him. I literally told Janet this. I said, oh, yeah, when I took a picture with him in Cooperstown, I felt the rush. And she told me, Danny, Alcalde de Carolina felt the same thing that you're talking about. So I'm sure that's something that you felt. You know, we have to talk about also someone that was near and dear to us, Doña Vera Clemente.
Definitely,
your thoughts
yes.
on meeting que descanse en paz, because we have to give credit where credit is due. So much that she did with the legado, the legacy of Roberto.
Oh, definitely. Doña Vera Clemente have a lot to do with what Clemente did. I mean, she was right there with him. And as a matter of fact, I have a story with Doña Vera Clemente. It was about, I don't know how many years ago, 12, 15 years ago. We have a big meeting with big names, you know, Hall of Famers were there in Puerto Rico, you know, big former Puerto Rican players. They were all there. That was more than 200 people in there. And I came in and Doña Vera was sitting right in the middle, just sitting down, you know, handshaking everybody. And when she saw me, she said, Edwin, you're here. Sit down here. She said, right here, right here. And somebody was sitting right next to her. And she said, hey, can you please move? So can Edwin sit down? And then I sat down there and we spoke for about 30 minutes about life. Yeah. She was so sweet. I mean, as a person. And we never mentioned baseball. We never mentioned anything. You just talk. I mean, she had that clear.
There was an aura about it.
It was. And then when she, I mean, you know, soft-spoken, easy to spoken, you know, and you go like, oh my God. So I was sitting there for 30 minutes and it was great. And for her telling me, please sit down. Oh my goodness. That was a great experience.
Now,
so like you said,
Edwin, you mentioned Hall of Famers. Tell me those Hall of Famers that were there.
What, Roberto Alomar was there.
Okay.
Orlando Cepeda was there.
Look at
Tony
that.
Perez was there. Tony
Perez. Who's who?
Yeah, he was there. Edgar Martinez, he was not, by that time, he was not a Hall of Famer, but he was there.
Look at that.
Shell Cruz was there.
Wow.
Santos Alomar Sr. was there. Yeah. I mean, Felix Millan was there.
Felix.
There were no Hall of Famer, but I'm telling you, Carlos Delgado was there.
Yeah.
All those guys were. I mean, it was a great meeting. I mean,
but Edwin, she asked you to sit next to her.
I was like, really? I mean, I was right next talking and handshaking everybody and talking to everybody. And she, because we had very good conversation before that day. So she knew that, I can talk other than baseball with Edwin. So, man, we sat together and we went off about everything. So, that was for me, that was a great honor sitting right next to her.
Sure. So, you know, Edwin, something else that I want to ask you as we're about to wrap up our podcast is something that is near and dear, not only to Puerto Ricans, to the Pittsburgh community, but everyone who is a fan of the great one, and that is the retirement of Clemente's number. Now, this year marks the 50th anniversary of his induction posthumously into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So, Edwin, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the retiring of his number. Hopefully, this year that marks the 50th anniversary of his induction into Cooperstown.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure that I have read and listened to a lot of controversy around that. But I'm 100% agree and pulling for the retirement on number 21 from the Major League organizations. I mean, and all for that, Jackie Robinson number, you know, retiring all that. I mean, oh my goodness, you're talking about Jackie Robinson.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
He has his place in history, not only baseball is a history, world history and social history.
Yeah.
But Roberto Clemente should be there because means a lot, even more for baseball, even more than for Latin players, is for the world. I mean, he was a man of the world. He was not a man for Major League Baseball, a man for the Latin communities. He was, I mean, if you go to Japan, they know what number 21 is. Yeah, because I've been there, that right here, the number 21 means. So everybody know what that number 21 means. So retiring that number, I think is in order. I think it would be a great honor for not only for Clemente or for Puerto Rico, it would be a great honor for baseball and for humanity.
Absolutely, and 100%. And I do hope that we will see that very, very soon. So, Edwin, I told you I have a tough question to ask you. And you said to me in a text message, I'm ready. Bring it on.
My goodness.
You ready for the question?
There you go.
If Mexico asked you to manage the 2026 WBC, would you say yes, or would you say, thank you for the honor, but I have to keep my allegiance to Puerto Rico? You're the manager in Mexico right now.
So I wonder
you on the spot. I'm putting you on the spot.
I know. I wonder who gave you that
I'm question. No comment.
I'm telling you what. I'm Puerto Rican. I mean, and my heart is with Puerto Rico and baseball and all that. But baseball is my life. I mean, it will be an honor. It's Mexico. If any country with all among all those, I mean, former managers and baseball people, it will be an honor. If Spain, Mexico, any of the countries call me out to manage their team, that means a lot. And I would see that as honoring Puerto Rico. Like, let's look at Puerto Rico. There's a lot of good people in Puerto Rico. What about this guy? So I would see that as an honor for Puerto Rico. Not for me, for Puerto Rican players.
And I hear it. You would seriously consider it.
Oh, definitely.
Seriously consider
definitely
it.
Yes. Definitely,
very
yes.
Good. Very good. Yeah, very good. Well, you know, Edwin, I'm going to tell you something because now Danny wants to get a little personal here.
Okay.
Edwin, I met you in the Boogie Down Bronx. When they made you, thanks to your cousin, who I have not seen in quite some time, Jorge, Georgie, who when I told him, man, I got to interview Edwin Rodriguez. Oh, bro, that's my primo. That's my cousin. And I'm going to see him tomorrow. So here it is. I go to his office in the Bronx. And Edwin, I'm going to tell you, it's the truth. And all the players in my 20 years that I've met, I've never gotten a rush. Never. Only rush I experienced was Doña Vera Clemente in 2002 in Puerto Rico. Like, oh, my God, I'm with Doña Vera. Edwin, guess what? You're number two. Because when I walked into that space in the Bronx, I literally said, I can't curse during Lent, so I'm not going to say the word. I think you know the word I want to say.
Right.
But when I saw you, it was holy. And I went to you. We did a quick interview.
I know.
People laugh all the time because they said, Danny, you got his number? I said, of course I got his number. Now, the one thing that I don't know if you remember this because it's a true story.
Right.
When I met you at Citi Field.
Right.
Remember, we just met a couple hours earlier.
I remember.
All the media was around you. You were with the Florida Marlins.
Yeah.
And I'm standing to the side. The beat reporters, they're all there. And you said, look at my man, Danny Torres. Come sit right next to me. And I'm laughing my ass off. And I sat right next to you. And you could see all the reporters saying, how the hell does he know this guy? And I'll never forget that. But Edwin, I'm going to tell you what's very special to me because you could see part of my collection behind me.
Right.
But Edwin, guess what? Look what's special to me as well.
Look at that.
That baseball, Edwin, that you personalized to me.
Yep.
Guess what? When I'm no longer around, the kids want to sell it. Well, guess what? Someone's going to have para Familia Torre. Always a pleasure spending time with you. Edwin Rodriguez, first MLB Puerto Rican manager. So, Edwin, this baseball means the world to me. And it means so much that you on Talking 21 Season 3. And I thank you so very much, Edwin Rodriguez, the first Puerto Rican manager in MLB history.
Thank you, Danny, man. You're going to make me cry, man, right in front of these people, man.
Papi, but see, if that happens, then that might be a first in a podcast.
But I tell you, man, what I see other than Danny Torres, and he's a Puerto Rican. I mean, very proud to be Puerto Rican and very proud to honor Roberto Clemente. Yes. So that means a lot to me when a Puerto Rican.
Means a lot to me too, man. Means a lot.
Yeah, when a Puerto Rican trying to, I mean, put the island and the Clemente's name, you know, higher than what it is. I mean, that means a lot.
And that's the reason why I threw in the tournament, con mi hermano right next to me. Danny had the hat on.
I had the hat on.
So that's for great. Our viewers. And signed by Edwin and a couple of other players as well.
Right.
But Edwin, thank you so very much once again for being on the Talkin' 21 podcast. On behalf of Raciel Guevara and the entire Talkin' 21 team, gracias, hermano. Mil gracias. Que Dios te bendiga. Thank you so very much, Edwin Rodriguez, for being on the Talkin' 21 podcast. And I'll never forget that day, that moment where we met in the Bronx. It truly was a memorable experience, and so happy that so many years later, Team Puerto Rico, so many moments that we've shared together that I've had that opportunity to literally enjoy this relationship. And I know our viewers and our listeners are going to enjoy this particular episode. So I will tell you, don't forget on behalf of my producer extraordinaire to make sure to subscribe, to rate, provide some feedback. We truly enjoyed everything you wrote. And most importantly, like this video. And I want to say in the spirit of Roberto Clemente, let's all be great. Let's all be great ones. Tune in for our next episode. And we know for a fact 2023 is going to be unbelievably special. Thank you.